All right, we begin the program today. T-minus 126 and 20 seconds. Glad you're with us as we watch the historic U.S. space launch scheduled for about 4:33, last I checked, this afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, 1:33 Pacific Time. You know, this is a pretty fascinating thing. When you look at what this is all about, Elon Musk is SpaceX. It's about to launch humans for NASA. It's an incredible example of public-private partnerships. You know, we have talked a lot about how amazing, you know, how amazing the American people are. I actually spent a lot of time, I spent time tweeting today, because if we're going to sum up coronavirus, one of the things that we learned here, we've rewritten the books on how we will deal with pandemics. We have now shown American ingenuity at its best. We see that. I saw a plan today by the Wynn Hotel in Vegas and how they plan to open up and open up safely. I was really, really amazed by it. Loved it. And I just thought it was just really good, solid, great Americans doing what they do best every single day. And they make our lives better every single day. You know, and what if we're going to sum it up, and this is what I sent out on Twitter today, what are the lessons we learned? And then I'll dovetail this into the SpaceX program and this launch that we expect, hopefully this afternoon. Last I heard, they were saying it was about 50-50 based on weather conditions, et cetera. But we learned what? The experts, the doctors, models, projections were all dead wrong. I'm summing it up here. We learned that China lied to the entire world in a spectacular way that resulted in many, 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 many hundreds of thousands dying needlessly. As that British study said, we could have prevented 95% of this. We also learned that we better start manufacturing our own medical equipment and our own medicines at home, including the key ingredients, which we soon learned we did not have all of them available to us because a lot of this had been outsourced to China. Another reason, if you want to think about a president being really ahead of the curve, Donald Trump and China, I don't think anybody was any more right. And the same thing with the border and the wall and on a lot of issues. Donald Trump's been ahead of the curve. And you know, if we're going to continue, we learn that protecting, you know, in other words, so the second part, we've got to start manufacturing our own medical equipment, our own medicines at home. So we are never, ever reliant ever again on other countries for such vital medicines and equipment. We can't do that. We learn that protecting older Americans. Now, this all vacillated with the experts all throughout this time here. You know, even Dr. Fauci saying you don't need a mask in mid-March and the risk is low in February 29th, this past leap year. But we learned that protecting older Americans was crucial. That was the one thing that remained constant. Older people, underlying medical conditions, compromised immune systems, they were most at risk. And they did that perfectly in states like Florida and Texas. I use Florida as the greatest example because every department in the state played a role in going and working with the nursing homes, long-term care facilities, communities like the Villages. They did an amazing job. We learned that when we do not protect older Americans, like the executive orders, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, the unmitigated disaster that is Michigan, it is a disaster. And had we not put COVID-19 patients in homes with other sick, older, vulnerable people, we don't know how many thousands and thousands of lives could have been saved. That was a huge mistake. We got to learn from our mistakes also. We learned, you know, on so many levels, you got to learn from the things you do right, the things you do wrong. We learned that when we do not protect them, there's trouble. We learn that travel bans and quarantines are smart, the new normal as far as I'm concerned, not hysterical, xenophobic fear-mongering. We learn that medical supply chains, food supply chains that never shut down, they worked perfectly in large part because those people in those manufacturing facilities, those employees did wear their masks. So masks work. We got to learn from it. We also were reminded that all medical workers, doctors, nurses, janitors inside these hospitals are heroes. We learned that those medical manufacturers of all that medical equipment, you know, at a record pace, they're all heroes too. We learned that the farmers, packers, truckers, grocery store clerks, and guys that stock the shelves daily to feed us, they're heroes. We learned that this country is great because of the people in this country. We the people. You make it great. The people of this country are, I mean, it's the greatest country God has ever given man. There's just no other way to put it. And I think it should inspire every single American in terms of, you know, what we're capable of. This was the largest, the fastest medical mobilization in the history of mankind. It happened right here before our very eyes, starting in March, and it's not June yet. We learned, Governor Cuomo, he needs to refund the state income tax bill that he's sending to out-of-state medical professionals that came to the epicenter of the coronavirus to work in the hospitals here to help save lives and put themselves in harm's way in New York's hour of need. Is that, Governor, is that how you say thank you? I mean, because it's absurd. Those are the lessons. And we learned that these public-private partnerships work amazingly well because of the ingenuity of the American people. Who would have ever thunk it that Ford and GM are going to manufacture ventilators? But they did, which brings us back to where I started, which is, all right, we're watching T-minus, you know, 1 hour and 23 minutes, whatever it happens to be, till this SpaceX is about to launch humans for NASA. It is, by the way, this started in 2002. Elon Musk, and let me tell you something, this has now been a goal 18 years in the making. He started this company, set his sights on human spaceflight, and Demo 2, this mission, we'll see the company's Crew Dragon spacecraft launch from Cape Canaveral. The governor will be there. I understand the president's going to be there. These two astronauts on board, Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley. For the first time, it'll be the first launch of humans to orbit from American soil since the retirement of the space shuttle in July of 2011. And this is now a new, exciting era of human spaceflight. Now, it was literally a private spacecraft carrying astronauts, and SpaceX was, they worked hand in hand with NASA to build the spacecraft. It's called Crew Dragon. It's taken them over a decade. And by the way, what is going to go down today is, you know, not, it is not without risk. There's risk here, as we learned from the Challenger. And our thoughts and our prayers to these astronauts and all these engineers at NASA and all the people working at SpaceX that have devoted every second, minute, and hour of their lives trying to make this all go perfectly today. And if I had to bet, I'd say, of course, it's going to go well because we have the best. Occasionally, things are not perfect. We're not perfect people. Anyway, it's going to head to the space station, and it will take the about 19 hours to reach that's International Space Station. And the space station crew, like astronauts on any other mission, they're going to live and work with these other International Space Station astronauts for the duration of their time there. And these two guys, they have flown to space several times before. Hurley was even the pilot on the final space shuttle flight. And it's a phenomenal tribute to human ingenuity and genius and creativity and engineering and science and all the things that we marvel at. They're about to break a 9-year hiatus for NASA as they're the first astronauts now to launch from U.S. soil since the retirement of the shuttle in the intervening years. And this is kind of pathetic in my mind. Maybe I'm just too pro-American, but NASA bought seats for our astronauts at a cost of, what, $50 million a flight. From the Russians. They were flying our astronauts. Now, they've worked with, now, our, this is all hands on deck. You had Boeing being a part of this, SpaceX being a part of this, NASA being a part of this, a vision by Elon Musk being a part of this, and all the smart people that he hired. And the idea is that eventually this would build into something even bigger. I don't know. Linda, did you ever watch any of these Nat Geo or History Channel? One of the other. I don't remember which channel. One of those channels.
Yeah, Nat Geo does a bunch of stuff on this.
I love the stuff on Mars rovers. And I mean, I've watched it over and over and over. Sojourner, Spirit, Opportunity, Curiosity. And you watch these things land on Mars, and it takes you through this whole process. And then they get stuck in the mud. And how do they figure it out from Earth to get this thing rolling again? And how they the first one they did lasted so much longer than they ever thought it would ever work. It's incredible. I mean, there's galaxies, you know, we have universes within universes within universes. And by the way, China's set to launch a Mars probe and their own rover mission in July.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying there's going to be one from Europe, one from us, and one from China all this year. It takes like 7 to 10 months to get to Mars, and it's we're going to have all three of these countries doing it. It's just crazy.
Why is the competitive side of me want to win?
We want to win.
I want to win. I can't help it. It's who I am. It's in my DNA. And I think we did a terrible service in terms of the American people by dismantling this even for a period of time. All right, we'll get to all of that, and we'll be watching it throughout the afternoon. Bill O'Reilly also is going to check in today. We have a lot of news today, a lot on Twitter and freedom of speech and censorship and all these companies playing all these games against conservatives are being called out by the president, by the vice president, rightly so. I love how we have CNN, Washington Post now fact-checking for Jack Dorsey. Now, Linda, you're friends with Jack Dorsey. I've met Jack Dorsey.
I would say friends is a stretch. We're colleagues. We're business colleagues.
Okay. You got him to come on this program, and I met with him.
Yes.
I think he's a smart guy. I explained at that time, if you remember, in a lot of detail, where conservatives' concerns were, and you recall the issues probably better than I do.
Yeah, I mean, we went to dinner, we talked about it, and, you know, the one thing I said to him was, you have to be fair and balanced. You have to hate everybody equally. Like, if you're going to have something said about the left, then have it said about the right and vice versa. And he was very open to that, but the left is being real pushy. They don't like the pushback.
Okay, so if they don't like what somebody tweets, you know, my answer is too bad. If you don't like, you know, for them to be the fact checkers, okay, that's a task impossible.
Yeah,
because
it is.
CNN and the Washington Post are not the people you go to if you're going to cite fact checking, and that's exactly what Twitter did. Now, I guess they have this new competitor to Twitter. What is it called? Gab or something like that?
Parler,
Gab. I don't know, but you know something. By the way, for me to tweet now, I have to run it through an army of handlers. Nobody lets me tweet on my own. I don't even have... Linda, it's been how long since I've had access to any account of mine?
We took that away a long time ago.
If you feel like I'm a child that has had my toys taken away after my last fights. By the way, Jimmy Kimmel, to his credit, said, I never thought I'd say this, but listen to Sean Hannity. Because he agrees with me, and I know some of you disagree with me for this short period of time, because we got to reopen the country. 74% of small business experts, they're expecting a recovery, but the cost is now too high. And if wearing masks brings us to football stadiums, I'll wear it. That's my line. Not because any government official told me to, but also to protect grandma and grandpa. You know, if my parents were alive, I'd do it for them. My grandparents were alive. I'd do it for them. I did not like what I saw in that pool in the Ozarks, not because I think the kids are not, you know, young people are not as susceptible to coronavirus. But if they go see grandma, grandpa, then it's a problem. If they get it, if they have it, and they may not know, they may be asymptomatic, we've learned. Just got to learn the lessons. Because once we get past this completely with whatever treatment, vaccine, et cetera, that emerges, which will be a controversy in and of itself. Don't drag me into that. Then life back to normal. Let's get our game on and be Americans. That's who we are. You know, freedom and fun and beaches and barbecues. That's what I want. Country music.